This is Wrestling at Work, a weekdaily bite-sized podcast where me, Will Martin, and a co-worker, Landon Sin, discuss what's going on in the world of professional wrestling. Well, it's Friday, TGIF, Landon.
Yeah, man, happy Friday to you as well.
It's been a long week. It's been a good week. And there is definitely a lot to talk about. And this morning, I want us to focus on AEW Dynamite, a little bit about the Wednesday Night War, just to set it up. AEW won for the fifth consecutive week in the ratings war. As far as the Wednesday Night War as a whole, do you think we've hit a stride, or do you think it's going to kind of go back and forth? Or, I mean, you know, I know we lean more towards AEW, so we're not really keeping up with NXT, but I just can't help but think that, you know, NXT coming off of the Rumble, you would think that would be, you know, kind of a big deal, and maybe their audience would spike, you know, but they were still second fiddle to Dynamite this week. What are your thoughts on the war as a whole?
You know, I really think AEW is more long-term planning in the way they think. Obviously, professional wrestling builds towards pay-per-views, and with AEW's schedule, you know, they have few and far in between, and so I think they're just planning farther ahead. I think they're working out spots now that pay off later, unlike WWE. I just feel like they are all about the then and now, and then they're like, oh, it's Monday or it's Wednesday, what are we going to do?
Yeah, a lot of instant gratification on WWE television and not a lot of continuity, which, as you mentioned, that is a stark contrast to what we saw on Dynamite this week. One of the highlights for me was that from Dynamite was just this awesome, like, and I'm not used to it being a WWE fan for the past 20 years. I'm not used to, like, cohesive, continual storylines that build. Usually there's, like you said, there's, like, a flash in the pan that happens, and then it pays off the next week or the next night after the pay-per-view, and then you don't, you know, you move on and something. It's like this ADD wrestling culture of you can't focus on one thing for a long time. And then you've got Dynamite, and you've got storylines like MJF hiring, you know, Butcher and Blade to do a hit on the Young Bucks, and that's a continuation of them throwing him in the pool last week. And so they don't fixate on him and Cody. They bring in these peripheral things and they keep them going week to week, and they build off the storyline. And, you know, there's all kind of storylines like that. You had these vignettes from Pac where, you know, he's referencing Kenny Omega and, you know, the backstory there. He even references Moxley. So they're not just throwing out things that happened in the past, they're keeping storylines going. And that's, I mean, for me, that's like a fresh breath of air, you know, in the wrestling world.
Absolutely. And another story that I want to hit on, and probably could be my highlight of Wednesday Night Dynamite, I'm really enjoying the Hangman angle. I thought him coming out, you know, way behind Kenny Omega, you know, they're coming in to save the Young Bucks, and he's got a beer, and he's like, hey, hold my beer, you know, so I can get in the ring, and then yeah, he gets it back from him. And so I just thought that was such a nice touch. I think they're really going to drag that out, but it's working. Like, I'm not sure what the payoff's going to be, but it's going to be fun, it's going to be good, and so, yeah, I'm loving that storyline.
Along the same lines, I also really liked how, you know, the backstage vignette where they were talking and Hangman walks in and he's got the belt plates and he's got, you know, their belt plates are put on, but then he's like, oh, you know, here, Matt and Nick, they made them for everyone, so here's yours for when you eventually win it. And it just got me thinking, I'm like, you know, there's so many, I love that they didn't just outright come out and say what he was trying to say. It was really insinuated so that we as the fans can kind of jump to conclusions. You know, in WWE, I felt like they would have not been so vague about it, and they would have just been direct and insulted our intelligence and our ability to kind of infer these emotions and these, like, insinuations. And so I love that happened and the vibe of that, and then he just walked out. And I mean, that whole storyline, I mean, Hangman Page, we can focus on this for a minute, because he went from being a decent character, right? And when AEW first launched, there was this vibe that, like, they were going to push him. He was in the first title match, or not, he wasn't in the first title match, but he was in the running for the first title, you know, and he was having all these qualifying matches and kind of coming from behind and fighting through injury. And so he seemed like he was going to be this underdog babyface. But at the same time, like, in the back of my mind, and probably in a lot of people, it was like, well, what is this character? Like, he's just this cowboy that, he doesn't really have a lot of substance. And I feel like in the last, like, 2 months, they have given him a ton of substance, and he's this great character that is relatable almost, you know, because he's just this, you know, cowboy guy drinking beer and kind of taking care of business and not mincing words and just, you know, being real. And it's really a different side of Adam Page, and I think it's only going to get better from here.
I would absolutely agree. I mean, you would not think on paper in 2020 that a cowboy gimmick would work.
Yeah.
But it does, you know? And so that's super exciting to see the depth of that character. I'm really excited to see what they do with the tag team belts. I mean, are they going to put them up, and is he going to take their matches seriously?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where my thinking is, but either way, I think it's just going to play into a great story for the Elite as a whole.
And then you've got Kenny Omega in the whole mix too, and he's someone who everyone expected to just come in at the top of the company because he's involved behind the scenes and in the production and the executive planning and all that. He's kind of a front office position, kind of like Cody, but you know, they've done a really great job, in my opinion, of not just throwing him in our face as the best in the world, because not everybody that watches AEW has watched New Japan or Ring of Honor, and they're not super familiar with him, especially the people that are coming over from WWE. They've heard the name, but maybe they've never even seen a match. And so I love that they're actually building him, and they've gotten him to a position where now he's got, you know, he's half of the tag team champions, but he's not. I just feel like it would have made sense to me, because I've seen a lot of Kenny Omega matches, if he became the first champion. But Chris Jericho was the best choice, and I think the route that they're going with both Kenny and Hangman is great. And even the Young Bucks, the fact that they didn't just come out of the gate and become champions. You know, I think they've done a really good job with the Elite of, you know, not making them necessarily the come-from-behind underdog baby faces, but making them interesting and kind of leaving us wanting a little more each week. Like, and they're obviously leading up to something here, some division within the group and the tag titles and all that kind of stuff. So it'll be really interesting to see where that goes.
It will. And, you know, once the Bucks get the tag belts, or once Kenny gets the heavyweight belt, you know, it's going to feel really good. I think they're going to do it right, because there could have been a little bit of an eye roll if they had just put the belt immediately on those guys. So the fact that they're thinking through, they're taking their time, they're building up guys, I think they're doing it right. And that's why they're winning in the ratings.
Well, let's wrap up our Dynamite talk. Let's talk about Jon Moxley and Chris Jericho and the Inner Circle. It was really different for them to start this week off with a promo. That's not very Dynamite-like. Usually they follow the old Nitro format of let's give them a barn burner right out of the gate. You know, the intro plays and you've already got guys in the ring and let's grab attention from the get-go. But they were in Cleveland, which is the home state. Ohio is the home state of Jon Moxley, so they really played to that, and also that's really the biggest storyline. That's where the show ended last week. So what did you think about starting off with a promo this week, and what do you think about just Jon Moxley, Chris Jericho in general, and this build to Revolution?
So for, I don't know how many weeks Dynamite's been on the air, but this is the first show I can remember that they started with a promo, so they totally get a pass, and it's totally fine. And so that was all good in my book. I appreciate the odds that stacked up against Moxley. And, you know, the bra aspect can be overdone a little bit, but, like, I thought it was fine. You know, it was a big, you know, the odds were against Moxley, so it made sense for security to come out, you know, and all that stuff. And, you know, it does make a sense of excitement, and that's what I am for this feud.
I thought Jericho was great, as always. I mean, believable in his kind of dopey heel role. That's kind of where he shines. And I love the comment, the pirate comment about, you know, yo-ho-ho in a bottle of dumb when he called him stupid. He said, you're stupid. You know, that was just vintage Chris Jericho. So we got all those spots. And, yeah, I give him a pass, too, on the brawl because, you know, they have overdone that historically, even in the short time they've been alive, AEW. But I think there's still a realness element to it that's lacking in other companies like WWE, where it seems like it's just a crutch and it's just chaos and they're just trying to divert your attention from, you know, the fact that there's not good wrestling going on. It didn't feel that way with AEW. It didn't feel that way on Wednesday night. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the women's division before we wrap up and get to work on this Friday. Yeah. Wrestling at Work is brought to you by Post Break. Are you working on a video project and you need a much-needed break from all the tedious post-production and editing that comes along with it? Well, head on over to postbreak.net, check out some of their work, and get in contact with them, and they can give you the much-needed break that you need today. Head on over to postbreak.net. One aspect of AEW that is not controversial, but just a topic of discussion is the women's division. Because when AEW launched, they were really clear about the fact that, you know, they were gonna be at the forefront of women's wrestling. They were gonna pay the superstars equally, which is great. It's respectable, but you know, it's no secret that since they've launched, and since Dynamite has began coming on the air, it just hasn't really come to fruition. There's been sort of things here and there that have been interesting, but just as a whole, there's not a lot of excitement around the women's division. And I don't know if that has to do with, you know, an absent champion, Riho, who's not there every week, which is a big complaint, you know, against WWE when the belt's not present on weekly television. I don't know if it's that, or I don't know if it's the booking. I feel like they've got the talent, and I just don't know if it's because a lot of their top tier talent, in my opinion, are still involved with other promotions. And so maybe their schedules conflict, so they can't be on there and they can't be on a long program. But, you know, this week we had a decent match between Nyla Rose and Big Swole, but it doesn't feel like it's really building to anything. And there's no clear path for the women's division as a whole. I mean, you've got Nyla Rose going after Riho, which is already a rematch of the first women's championship match. So it's really nothing new there, but you've got all these, you know, Chris Statlander, you've got Jamie Hayter, who makes appearances, you've got Priscilla Kelly, who has been in there, and you've got, you know, Brandy and Awesome Kong, and you've got Britt Baker now, who's sort of sharpening her heel gimmick. But, I mean, what in your mind, kind of from a fantasy booking perspective, with the talent that they have, what would you do with the women's division to make it a little more interesting than it is right now?
So, two things. When you got a champion, you need them on TV and on the microphone. Now, I understand if Riho cannot speak, you know, great English and do a great promo, like that's fine. I'm not saying she's not worthy to be a champion, but in my opinion, I think a champion needs to be on TV and be on the microphone. So, with that said, I think if they did that somehow, that would obviously fix a lot. But honestly, I think this could be a stretch, but potentially a women's tournament. Mm-hmm. And what they could do is, obviously, they would build a number one contender, but also they could build little threads of stories throughout the tournament that could, you know, keep the women's division moving forward. So I think that could be a big win.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And it doesn't even have to be, you know, a tournament for the championship. You know, we've seen that with the, you know, the diamond ring, the MJF one in that battle royal, stuff like that, where it's like, it doesn't have, they could come up with something similar for the women. You know, maybe it's a diamond ring for the women, the same as what MJF won, and they have a battle royal or a tournament or something for that, just to add a little more depth, because I feel like we do need more than just these random pairings for the women's division. And, you know, I'm a big proponent of not making the belt the only thing that matters. Because if you do that, then you limit yourself on television and in pay-per-views to really only having three meaningful matches and three meaningful feuds at a time. When really, you know, you look at historically, I mean, you know, I was watching some old WCW pay-per-views, you know, and there was one where the main event was Sting versus Vader. Neither of them had a title. It was just a feud. You know, and they can do that. That can be done in 2020, I believe, if it's booked right and storylines are written and executed well. So I agree with you there. Who do you think are the standout stars that aren't really being utilized right now in AEW?
Men and women?
Well, specifically for the women.
Okay. Well, I really think that Sheeta, she had a great push for several weeks. And then, you know, you haven't seen her in a week or two, but, I mean, dude, you can just feel the crowd behind her. And, again, we haven't heard her on the microphone. And I know, I'm not saying you have to be on the mic to be a champion or anything, but it's just like, you know, she's got the look, she's got the moveset, and, you know, she can have a great match with anybody. Yeah. And that's what makes a good champion.
I think Chris Statlander too. I mean, they were pushing her for a couple of months, and then I know she had the title shot and came short, but it felt like after that she just fell off the map. They didn't do any follow-up. They didn't, you know, they had, and they may still be planning to do that. Maybe her and Brandy are gonna have a follow-up with the whole Nightmare Collective issue that was going on, which for me really needs to go away because that's part of what's killing the women's division. So I was happy to not see that on TV this week. But, you know, I think she's very underutilized. Jamie Hayter was on TV for a few weeks, and she's an incredible talent, great personality, and can, I think, really, you know, build a feud. I mean, Bea Priestley, you know, she was very present in the pay-per-views before Dynamite started airing on television, and she's kind of been MIA. She's a great talent. Her and Britt Baker had a feud going on, and now that's kind of fallen away. So there's just a lot of, in my opinion, you know, they're doing a better job with the men, but with the women, it's almost like they're not, it just feels like they're not putting the same amount of time and effort into storylines and creative. And so for me, it's fallen flat, but that doesn't mean they can't change it. So hopefully they're aware of that, because I know that they do have their ear to the ground when it comes to Twitter and what the fans are saying. And this is not an opinion that's unique to me and you. This is a criticism that a lot of people are giving, especially online. So hopefully they're hearing that, and hopefully they're doing something about it. And, you know, we can see something moving forward that makes it better. So what are you excited about the most moving forward in AEW moving towards Revolution?
Well, I'm just kind of ready to see the payoff. Like, I'm ready to see the steel cage match against Cody and Wardlow, which I'll be there live.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that story and the MJF match, because MJF and Cody, man, they're both great workers. So I might be looking forward to that match a little bit more than the championship match.
Yeah.
Though the championship match, it could go either way. I could see it going either way, and that's super exciting.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I mean, I don't. My gut tells me Jericho should retain, because I think he's still at the top, and I don't think they should dethrone him. And I know it hasn't been quickly, because it's been since, you know, back in September, but I do feel like he should be champion for like a year. And I don't know what that means for Moxley. Where they go with that from there. But I think Moxley is good enough where he doesn't need a belt. I think he definitely should have the belt, but he doesn't need it right now, and hopefully they know that, and maybe that's the route they'll go. But at any rate, it'll be incredible. So looking forward to all that. Looking forward to the weekend.
Woo!
Take a couple of days off. And so we're going to get to work, and then we're going to enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you guys again next week.